Well, I want to just briefly, and I promise it will be briefly, share with you some thoughts that I'd had about what I'd like to say today. I want to read to you from John's Gospel, John chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read together John 14 and from verse 1 through to verse 17. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not yet let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you, the Spirit of Truth. That's verse 12 of this chapter, where Jesus says, you will do even greater things than these. You will do even greater things than these. It's a verse that has always astonished me. And actually, I think anyone who really thinks about it probably would think the same too. You will do even greater things than Jesus. Do you know what Jesus did? Do you know the things that he did? He healed people and he raised people from the dead and he multiplied miracles and he multiplied food and he walked on water and he did all sorts of stuff. And the Word of God tells us that he says, will do even greater things than these. And the thing I suppose I would want to say on this day, when these two boys, are actually getting baptized and setting themselves off, I would want to say this, that we are called to a life of extraordinary activity in the kingdom of God. That actually we're not called to live tame lives, but actually ones which are full of life, full of dynamic encounters, full of transformations, which actually just touch all the people that we come across. And I want to tell you a story as an illustration of this. I met a man, some of you know this story already, so I apologize for that, but let me tell you the whole story. I met a man called Simon Peter, who's the head of the church in Uganda that I went to visit. He's the head of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God. And some of you have heard the stories of what he did, but probably what you don't know is this, that Simon Peter, a man who must be, I think, in his 50s now, started off as someone who was an orphan. He was orphaned because of his drought, basically. His family couldn't eat, didn't have enough, died, and he was left on his own. And that wasn't the end of his stories. The end that then led on into him being his tribe were persecuted during the time of Amin in Uganda. And he had to go, and he was displaced. He ended up in Kenya for a number of years, and then after he moved back to Uganda, he was then persecuted again. This time by the Lord's Resistance Army. This is a man who, if ever there was going to be someone who would take up arms and try to fight back, you'd have thought that would have been the one. But instead, Simon Peter heard the good news of Jesus Christ. He heard the stories of the love of God, and he chose, instead of taking up arms, to instead pursue following Christ. And as a result of that, he came back to Kampala. He was trained. He became a pastor in the church in that place. And he went and he saw many people come to faith in Jesus as a result of his ministry. But what he also saw were people who were hungry, people who were kids that didn't have any education, folks that were struggling because of this, the circumstances that they were in. And so his church began to run a program which was about helping people out of abject poverty. And over a number of years, he began to see that work. He saw people saved, but he also saw people's lives transformed. A number of years roll on from there, and Simon Peter became the archbishop of his denomination. He was the man who suddenly, well, he now is and has been for a number of years, the person who is in charge and making decisions about the denomination. And what he did was he began to work with Tear Fund as a partner organization to roll out a church and community mobilization program, which has the effect of cutting away at the roots of poverty, not only for the church, but also for the community, and seeing their lives transformed. As a result of that, not only are the individual lives changed and family lives changed, but community lives are being changed as well. Folks that didn't actually think that there was any way of them actually being rescued have been rescued. And why is that? Because they've been taught the Word of God. They've been taught the truth of the Bible, which is that God has a plan and a purpose for every person on the earth, that each one of us are called to work with Him to see that come into place, that there are huge resources available, even in these situations, in these communities, where traditionally we would look and say there was nothing. Actually, they found that there was a great deal as they worked together. And they discovered through the Scriptures that actually, as we work together, we can achieve great things for one another. And that whole process is now beginning to make a huge impact on Uganda. Now they have trained 1,000 facilitators, and 1,000 facilitators means that they can go to 1,000 villages, 1,000 villages of about 1,000 people each. That's 1 million people who, as a result of the program that they're involved in, will be lifted out of abject poverty. Not just the church, but the others, folks of other faiths and none, brought out of abject poverty and given a new hope, a new life. Their lives transformed. As a result of what's happened, Simon Peter was invited back in August this year to go and meet the president of Uganda. And the reason was because because he said, your community development stuff works. Our stuff does not work. Why is that? And as a result of that, what's happened is that they've now... Oh, hi. Going off on adventures. Yes, very good. As a result of that, what's happened is that they've gone to do a presentation to the cabinet, the government of Uganda, about how they can partner with the government to deliver the church and community mobilization program that they've been doing. So they're going to move from having the effect on a million people over these next 2 or 3 years to actually the 23 million people in Uganda being impacted for God. This is what Jesus meant when he said, you will do even greater things than these. A boy that should have been a fighter because of all the abuse that happened to him, turning to Christ, discovering the fullness of the gospel, beginning to live it out, showing that it worked, realizing that it was a greater wealth to sharing all of that with folks in his community, and then seeing them transformed. And as a result of his decision not to fight, but instead to follow Jesus, that country in these next few years will be transformed. I really believe it. I think that we're going to see Uganda, of all of the countries in the whole of Africa, beginning to lead the way in terms of actually breaking the poverty, the cycle of absolute despair and poverty, because they're beginning to see that actually they can actually do this, and they can be lifted out of that place of desperation. And so, I suppose what I wanted to say today was very simple. I want us to go on adventures of faith. I want us to actually live in such a way that actually our lives are extraordinary. Now, I'm not saying that we'll all necessarily go in and do what the sort of things that Simon Peter will do. Some of us will, But I am seeing that in the simple act of kindness, in the simple act of caring, in the ways in which we begin to live our lives, not just for ourselves, but for others, we are doing the greater things that Jesus talked about. So how can we do that? What are the basic things? Sorry. What are the simple things that we can learn? How is it possible? First, it's possible, and this is the thing that the president of Uganda had an interesting conversation with Simon Peter about. He said, Simon Peter explained to him, why is it that your stuff works and our stuff doesn't? And he said, it's because it's done with the church. It's actually done through the local church. It's done through local, committed Christian folks who just are willing to serve the folks in the church and out with the church. It's because it's actually based on our faith. And that's what Jesus said on that day when he was comforting his disciples. He said to them, look, you want this to work. You know, you need to come to the Father through me. You need a relationship with him. The only way this works is actually if you come to that place where you know, as we've heard today, that actually coming to faith in Jesus Christ changes your life forever. That's a simple start. That's the place that we start from. Because coming to faith in Jesus Christ affects our identity, because we realize that we're sons and daughters of God and that nothing can shake us from that. It affects our security, because we know that he'll never leave us. He'll always be with us. And it affects the fact that we know that we have a purpose in life, because we can see that we're here to live out his kingdom and to do something which is far greater than just simply existence. So relationship is the first thing. The second thing is empowering. That's when we talked about the fact Jesus said, I'm going to send you a new counselor, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come along and he's going to give you the strength to do the things that you need to do. To have power to be able to do stuff that we actually as humans can't do. That's what the scriptures teach us. If you read the scriptures, they're full of stories of things that we would describe as miracles. And miracles are things that human beings can't do, but God can. And that's what God is offering us today. That we would be full of his Spirit and that we would be able to do these things. But the Holy Spirit also gives us guidance. We need to know what to do and how to go forward. And often we don't know the answer, but God reveals it to us by his Spirit. And we also need wisdom, and the Spirit gives wisdom too, to know how to use that power and to use the guidance that God has given to us. So the second thing is empowering. And the third thing is this, that we actually embrace a new way to live. That we actually take seriously when Jesus said, you will do even greater things than these. That actually that wasn't just hyperbole. That wasn't just something he said. It was something he meant, and it's something that is for us to know and to live out. We are not meant to live our lives just existing and going through until we finally turn up our toes and disappear. We are meant to live our life with the passion and with the drive and with that sense that actually we can do anything with God that Jesus was very clearly speaking to his disciples about. I think that actually what we're called to is to live extraordinary adventures in the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you to participate in that. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you're a God who draws us into great adventures of faith. I thank you that they are world-changing. And I thank you that worlds change by single, simple acts of kindness, consistently done. And when added together, they become transformative, not only for individuals, but for families and communities and nations. And Lord, we want to be part of something that is greater than ourselves. We want to build in silver and gold that will last forever, not in chaff and straw that will be burnt up. We want, Lord God, our lives to count. And so, Lord God, today, as we mark this special day of new beginnings, we ask, Lord God, that you would come and do that in us and through us. Lord, you said that no one can come to the Father except by you. No one can come into a living relationship except without you. And so, Lord God, I pray for those here who are still asking questions about you, still wondering whether or not you are the way, that, Lord, you would speak to them. Lord, you would open their hearts and their understanding, that they would see something and hear something today that would spark in their hearts a desire for more. Lord, we recognize we need your Holy Spirit. We pray for you to impart it to us. Send the counselor that you promised to give us power, to lead us into the things that you've called us to give us wisdom so that we would do, Lord God, even greater things than you. Lord, would you do this, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.